Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start our message. Dear gracious and loving Father in heaven, hallowed and honored be thy name, Father. We thank you again for this Sabbath day that you've given us to come together and study and worship you. We thank you for everything that we have here, for all the blessings that you've poured out on us. And we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to be with us here now and guide me through every word that I speak. We pray these things and give thanks to Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Our message this morning is simply titled Judgment. And we're going to go straight to a scripture where Yeshua is speaking to us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24. Yeshua says, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life." Now, what does it mean to come under judgment? Because Yeshua just told us, and he said very truly, he tells us, that anyone who hears his words and believes him who sent him has eternal life and does not come under judgment. Come under judgment would mean to be a lawbreaker, would it not? If you go out here and you rob someone's home, you come under judgment. You stand before a judge. He tells us that when we hear his word and we believe the one that sent him, that we do not come under judgment. And then in Isaiah chapter 43, I believe he tells us a little bit about why you do not come under judgment. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. He says, "I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Now, I think we have a New Testament verse that goes with that. We're going to read it too. And that would be in Acts chapter 3. In verse 19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." Amen? I want my sins wiped out. If God says he blots out, he wipes out our sins, that would be to erase them, would it not? That would be just like something on a chalkboard and the teacher erasing it. That would be what Paul references in Colossians that many misinterpret that we spoke about earlier when he talks about the things being erased against you, erased that were held against you when in baptism. If God has wiped out and blotted out our sins, and he doesn't remember them, then you cannot be judged for them, can you? How can you be judged for something the judge is not aware of? It's impossible. And God can't lie. He's already told us in these first scriptures we've looked at that we will not come under judgment, and that He will not remember our sins, and that He will blot them out and He will wipe them out. I believe this is why the resurrection is described in the manner that it is in 1 Thessalonians. The first resurrection, that is, because there are two resurrections. The first resurrection is described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I think we're all familiar with this scripture, but we're going to read it again anyway. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, so through Yeshua God will bring with Him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For Yeshua Himself, with a cry of command and with the archangel's call and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And those are encouraging words. Amen. Now, he just described the first resurrection. How quickly did it happen? It happened immediately, didn't it? He came, He called the dead in Christ, and then those of His who were alive were called to meet them in the air. Doesn't mention anything about a great white throne of judgment there, does it? Doesn't say everybody came before a throne and was judged, and then He let you come up in the air. It happened instantly. And if you're not convinced that it happened instantly, we'll read again what Paul has to say about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 54. Paul says, "What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory." Now again, Paul spoke of the first resurrection, and how quickly did he say it happened? In an instant. In a twinkling of an eye. So we have already saw that God promises us, if we're His, we do not come under judgment. If we repent, He wipes out our sins. He forgets them. He no longer remembers them. And we have very much saw from the Apostle Paul's writings here that the resurrection, the first resurrection for those that are saved, will happen in an instant. And there are definitely two resurrections. The one for the saved and one for the damned. And in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 9 says, Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and will come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. He very much tells us there are two resurrections. And the one for those that are saved is a resurrection of what? Life. And the resurrection for those who are not is a resurrection to what? Judgment. Judgment is not for the saved. Judgment is for the damned. There are two distinct resurrections here, and we're going to read more on that in a second. If you are found guilty, you always do what? You stand before a judge for sentencing. Do you not? It was that way in ancient Israel. It's that way throughout the Bible. It is that way in the country that we live in. And it is that way with God. That's the principle that this came from. If you are found guilty, you stand before a judge. If you are found innocent, you do not stand before a judge, do you? And His blood, the gospel that David was speaking of earlier, does what for our sins? It wipes them clean. It cleanses us of all unrighteousness. If you're cleansed of all unrighteousness and wiped clean, you are not found guilty. Therefore, there is no need in standing before a judge for judgment to be passed upon you. And now in Revelation, for more on these two resurrections, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. John says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is devil and the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and locked and sealed it over him, so that he would deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be let out for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and those seated on them were given authority to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or in their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God in Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Now, we have just heard of the first resurrection that Paul was speaking of a while ago and telling us how quickly it happens. And it tells us that this first resurrection will happen, and then 1,000 years will pass while we reign with Him. And that brings us to 1,000 years later. We're going to go over into verse 11 in this same chapter. We have 1,000 years passed. And he says, Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who sat on it, the earth and the heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Also another book was opened, the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And all were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of the fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone's name who was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now that was 1,000 years after the first resurrection. Clearly stated there. So do you believe that God would resurrect you from the dead, let you reign with him for 1,000 years, and then judge you? That wouldn't make any sense, would it? This judgment is for those who were raised in that second resurrection. They have their day in court, so to speak, when they get to stand before the judge. And as we know from what Yeshua tells us in Matthew, some of them will debate the point with him. Some of them will try to appeal to him. Some will believe that they should have been saved. Some will say, did we not do many wonderful things in your names? Cast out demons, heal, work all sorts of miracles. And he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who work lawlessness. They are the lawbreakers. Lawbreakers are judged. Now, as we spoke of earlier today, the Word of God tells us we all have sinned and come short. But it says it in past tense. It doesn't say we all continue to sin. As Hebrews 10 and 26 tells us, that after coming to the knowledge of the truth, if we willfully go on sinning, there no longer remains a sacrifice for us. So as we see from these scriptures, if we repent, which means turn, go in a different direction, and we walk with him, his blood, in fact, is our atoning sacrifice that David spoke of. His blood cleanses us from all sin. We are no longer found as lawbreakers. That is called grace. And that in no wise means we can continue sinning. It means that we walk sinless to the best of our abilities. We do not get up planning to sin. There's a difference in a willful sin and an accidental sin, so to speak. That does not mean that if you stub your toe and say a dirty word, that that was the right thing to do. But you didn't get up that morning planning to do it. And you do need to ask forgiveness for it. But these people that believe you can come to him, repent, and then plan on cheating on your wife, and then go ask forgiveness, don't understand the Word of God. That's not what we're talking about here. Those are the ones who will be found as lawbreakers because they can willingly go on breaking God's law. 1 John tells us that sin is transgression of the law. So if you're a lawbreaker, there's a special resurrection for you. It's called the second resurrection. And you get to stand before the judge and have judgment passed on you. And as we see from what we quoted there in Matthew, just like the day in court, you can speak up if you don't like the judgment. It ain't gonna change it though. You have your chance, and you have your chance now to repent, turn and follow him and not be under judgment. Because we see that the white throne of judgment is clearly after the 1,000 years that we have spent with the Father and the Son. And now to close, I want to go back to our very first scripture and restate it. Yeshua says, very truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Amen. Now, let's stand and read our blessings together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.